Thank you, worship team, for leading us in that time of worship. You put a lot of time and a lot of practice into that, and we don't always appreciate enough what you do. So thank you. Thank you again. It's good to be here again today, and I appreciate seeing all of you. Thanks, Brad, for your prayer. If I stop a little bit earlier than usual, it's because I'm still recovering from a family sickness that got spread all around this week. And I've kind of recovered yesterday, but I'm still a little bit weak. So you know how those things are. I've had an opportunity to visit with many of you, most of you, and I appreciate the time that I've had to learn to know each one of you. A few of you, I may not have had that opportunity yet, and if you're one of those people, I would welcome a little bit of conversation where we could work something out. And I just want to say a word or two about that. I've heard a lot of expressions of appreciation for the caring and for the spiritual life that is here, and I see that as well. And I've heard many people, many of you give testimonies of how you came to know the Lord. And so your spiritual life is real. And I praise God for that. You're not just here out of habit. And so I want to affirm that, and anything that the church does has to be built on that spiritual foundation, and I very much affirm that. I think the biggest thing I've heard otherwise from some of the visits that I've made is expressions of grief. And I have heard a lot of grief over some conflicts and losses in the last couple of years, and I wasn't here to see those conflicts and losses, so I don't know firsthand what that is all about. But I've heard a lot of grief about that, and I would affirm those expressions of grief because it's something we need to talk about. You know how it is when we lose a loved one. It's like, in a way, we can't really go on until we talk about and express that grief. So that's important. But on the other hand, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says that we grieve, but not like the rest of men who have no hope. So this kind of grief may be a little bit different than some of the other kinds of grief of someone who died, but it's still a loss when we lose people. That's a loss, and it hurts, and I affirm that, but also I affirm that Jesus is alive, and Jesus is here, and Jesus wants to work with us here where we are now, and we'll talk more about that as we meet for our congregational meeting next week. This morning, I am speaking about the church. Now, my wife is a good person, and if I come up with an illustration, as often as not, she pulls it out. She's very good at pulling out illustrations. Anyway, this is a good one that comes from somebody by the name of Tom Nelson. I don't know who he is, but it's some false pictures that some people have of the church. Some people think of the church as a gas station. A gas station, you fill up your car. So a gas station where you fill up your spiritual tank when you're running low, and then it keeps you going for a little while until you come back and have to fill it up again. Some people think of the church as a movie theater. It's a place where you go that offers a little bit of entertainment. And so you leave feeling better and maybe with a little bit bigger smile than when you came in. Some people think of the church as a drugstore. And I think I've seen all of these. Some people think of the church as a drugstore. This is where you go where you need help with the pain that you have. It's a place that is healing. It's a place that's therapeutic. And some other people think of the church as a great big retail store. It offers great service at a low price and all a place to come where you can all stop in that has great programs for the whole family. I'm not going to say that there isn't merit in any of these, but none of these is really quite what the church is all about. What is the church all about? That's what I want to focus on this morning. And you already know I am going to speak on the church as the body of Christ. I'm going to read from Ephesians 4, verse 1 through verse 16. And I know we have different versions here. That's all right. I will be reading from the New International Version. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head. That is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The New Testament has a lot to say about the church. I don't think we always appreciate that enough. But one of the most important pictures that the New Testament gives of the church, of course, is the body of Christ. And it compares the body of Christ to the human body, and you basically know how the body works. We have the head and then all the nerves that go down to the different parts of the body. And if one of those nerves is severed, then that part of the body will not work. So how or in what way is the church the body of Christ? That's what I want to look at with you this morning. And first of all, Jesus Christ is the head of the church. In verse 15, we read that we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. And if we go to Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, we would find that the church is Christ's body and Jesus is the head. It says also that also in chapter 5 and in Colossians, it says that at different places, Jesus is the head. As Jesus is Lord over every Christian, he is also the head of the church. Now, we sometimes talk about the head of the church in different ways. Sometimes we talk about certain churches, the head of such and such a church is so and so. And so, in other words, we kind of talk like the church has different heads sometimes. Some people would say that the Pope is the head of the Catholic Church. And I don't know who all the, quote, heads of the different denominations are. But we believe that there's only one head, and that is Jesus. And when the Anabaptists first began in the 1500s, they were very strong on this the idea that Jesus is the only head of the church. There is no one human head of the church. And they weren't perfect. They had disagreements like all of us do. But that's one thing they were very strong on. And Menno Simons, whom some people would say was the head of the Mennonite church, if he would know that people would call him the head of the Mennonite church, he would turn over in his grave.
Yeah.
Yes. This was his favorite scripture. Other foundation can no man lay other than the one that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus is the head. Praise God. Now, we here at Alden Mennonite Church are part of the Lancaster Mennonite Conference. And by the way, that's Lancaster, not Lancaster. So I come up here and everybody says Lancaster, and I say Lancaster. Everybody can tell from that I'm from the outside. Anyway, let me not get distracted on that. Anyway, enough of that. I guess some people would say maybe that Keith Weaver, who is a moderator of Lancaster Mennonite Conference, is the, quote, head of Lancaster Mennonite Conference. And I know Keith well enough that I can say that I know he would have a fit if anybody thought about him in that way. So we're all members together, and we have one head, and that's Jesus Christ. Yes, we have different responsibilities and different gifts in the church, but we only have one head, and that is Jesus Christ. And as the head, Jesus gives us life. Jesus is the one who feeds the church. Jesus is the one who directs the church. That's so important. So Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Now I want to go on and say that since Jesus Christ is the head of the church and there is one head, there is also one body. And in verses 2-6, it tells us to keep the unity of the Spirit, the unity of the body. There is only one body, but it tells us to keep that unity. And we don't always do real well in keeping the unity of the body. And that gets a little complicated sometimes, I know that. And I'd like to go into that a little bit more. So the church is the body of Christ. We're united in one spirit. That's in verse 3. But before we have verse 3, we have verse 2. Be completely humble, gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. And boy, in church sometimes we're different enough that we have to work at that. We have to bear with each other in love. So we need to affirm that, and we need to remind ourselves of that. And we don't always do too well at that. And just as often, if there is strife in the church, and not all of you might agree with me on this, I don't know. But I am going to suggest that in the church, how we behave to one another, and if you want to throw me out by me saying this, go ahead. But how we behave to one another is more important than how we think. Now, some of you are going to wonder about that a little bit. Or maybe I should say it quite and maybe a little bit differently. How we behave toward one another is just as important as what we believe. Now, let me take that a little bit further here. This, in my memory, goes back 20, 30 years. I've heard Mennonite speakers, and there's one I could name, and I think you'd recognize that person's name. And I learned so much from that person, but there's one thing that person said that always bothered me. And I've heard this more and more as time went along, and that is that there is nothing that we can believe that is just as important as how we behave toward one another. Well, I got a concern about that. I thought, well, if we do that, if we say that what we believe isn't as important as how we behave toward one another, where is that eventually going to end up? And I think as time went on, we could see some of those things that happened. And I don't want to spend a lot of time going into some of those things that happened in the Mennonite church. We could really get off on a long one on this, and I don't want to do that. But I understand that concern, and I believe I'm with you on that concern. But having said that, it's also so important to talk about how we behave toward one another. And sometimes it's easier to look back in the past and say that than it is to look at what's happening right now. Just for example, I grew up in a little town in Pennsylvania called Bally, spelled B-A-L-L-Y, Bally. And so I went to the Mennonite church in Bally. Right beside the church building was a graveyard. And right on the other side of the graveyard was another Mennonite church. And I remember as a little boy, before I understood too much, I would ask my parents, why is there another Mennonite church right on the other side of the graveyard? Well, we'll tell you when you get a little older. I don't remember what the reasons were anymore for that division that took place. It goes back to the year 1849, a long time ago. But by now, any of those reasons, any of us would look back and say, what in the world did they divide over that for? But sometimes it's a little bit easier looking back. I'm going to say that. Now maybe we could go on and say that if there is a big thing and you have to go different ways, how you do it is just as important. So that's what one thing I'm going to leave with you today. And I don't know if you're exactly at the same place I am or not. I'm not at the place where you say how we act toward each other is more important than what we believe. I'm not going to say that. That can take you down a dangerous route. I understand that. But I do believe we need to learn what it means to be humble, to be gentle, to be patient, bearing with one another in love. That's what I want to emphasize this morning. And I think that is something that we are learning here. And may God continue to help us learn. Okay. Now I want to talk a little bit about members of his body. We are one body and many members. And it says that different places. Romans 12:4, Ephesians 2:19, Ephesians 4:25, Ephesians 5:30. Colossians 3:15. So as fellow members of Christ's body, we're more than just people who come here when we feel like it. If I just come to church when I feel like that, I might not be here this morning. Maybe you have the same situation. I don't know. But we're committed to each other, and I'm not just talking about on Sunday morning. It goes so far than on Sunday morning. We are different members. The hand and the foot are very different, but they're part of the same body, and they work together in such a wonderful way. That's how we are. That's how we are as different members of the body of Christ. So as members of the body of Christ, when one member of the body hurts, we all hurt. And as the body works together, we all work together. And that kind of commitment goes beyond the culture that we live in. The culture that we live in kind of is, well, I'll go here as long as I feel like it. Then if there's something good over here, then I'll go here, you know. We don't live in a culture of committed people. But we are committed people. We're committed to Jesus Christ. I'm committed to Jesus. You're committed to Jesus. And so that means, as a result, that we're also committed to one another. And we need to do, again, as Ephesians 4:2 tells us, be humble and gentle and patient and bear with one another in love. I'd like to say just a little bit more about members yet. Sometimes we talk about church membership. And as we talk about church membership has always been very important to me. And I'm going to say here now that when I first came up to Alden, this bothered me. So I said to the bishop, I'm going to be at Alden Mennonite Church for 6 months, and I'll be there half that time for 6 months. Membership is important to me, but for that short time, what should I do? And he suggested that I keep my membership back in Pennsylvania for this amount of time, so that's what I've decided to do. But there's something in me that doesn't quite feel quite right about that, even though it's only a short time. So if you'll allow me to say this, I would consider myself for this time a member of the body, even though that hasn't taken place in a formal sense. And there's something good, too, in becoming a member of the body in a formal sense in that discernment happening together. I affirm that. There is an important place for that. So like members of the body, we have hands, we have feet, and God wants us to care for one another. That brings me to the spiritual gifts in the body. And you can see them, I believe, in your bulletin and in spiritual gifts. Do you have a list of spiritual gifts? I just went through the New Testament just to list some of the different spiritual gifts. And if you think, you look at this and say, well, I don't see myself on here. I'm going to get to that. But of course, in Ephesians 4:11 and 12, it says apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Romans 12:6-8, prophecy, service, teaching, encouraging, giving, administration, showing mercy. And then some others in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirits, tongues and interpretation of tongues. And then later in the same chapter, apostles, prophets, teachers, workers of miracles, healing, administration, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. This is only a representation. And each, the spiritual gifts in each passage are different. And whatever God has called us to do to serve is more important than trying to think, let's see, I have to find my gift. You find your gift by using it and by serving, and not the other way around. You don't find your gift by somehow in your head sitting down and trying to think about it. That's not quite the way it works. And I believe that Alden Mennonite Church has a certain set of spiritual gifts. And I believe, with those who I've heard say already, that no one church has the same set of spiritual gifts, and God has given spiritual gifts to this church for a certain purpose, and that is for the purpose that God has for that church to minister. So what is that purpose, and what are those spiritual gifts? That's what I would like us to think about as we go ahead, and I can't finish on that day. I'd just like to plant that in your mind and let you think about that. I might have had a little more to say, but I think I'm going to need to close here now. We will have more time to process some of these things as we meet together next week, in a congregational meeting. And be in prayer for that congregational meeting. I think a lot of good can come of that meeting as we talk together, and not just as we talk together, but as we pray together. It's one thing we don't do nearly enough of, and that is pray together. How can we find ways to pray together a little bit more? But I'm going to end this now, even though it's a little bit early yet. I'm going to end this just by reminding us that Jesus is the head of the church. We are all part of one body, and we are members of his body, and Jesus has given us gifts in order to serve him and carry out his will for us. May God give us the grace to be the kind of person and the kind of people that he wants us to be. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I give you so much thanks that you have called us, that you have died for us, that you forgive us, Lord, that you make us new people. Lord, you make us new, and you've made us new people, and we confess, Lord, that many times we still fail. But we thank you that you call us back to you again, that you continue to give us hope. Lord, may you give us hope today. May you give us direction. May your Holy Spirit be with us. Help us to learn to be patient with one another. Help us to learn to grieve together. Help us to learn to pray together. Help us to learn to work together. Oh, Lord, just direct us as we move ahead with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, that you are Lord of the church, that you are head of the church. In Jesus' name, amen.